encourage you to do some things this week, say some things because Jesus has done great things for you. Do some things this week, say some things this week because Jesus has forgiven your sins. So your sins were as scarlet, he's washed you whiter than snow. Do some things this week, say some things this week. You've drunk of the water. The one who drinks of it will never thirst again. Never. Because you've eaten of the bread, that the one who eats of this bread will never hunger again, but will have everlasting life. Do some things this week because you've eaten of that bread. Because you've drunk of that living water. Do some things this week because if the Son sets you free, free indeed. The sons are free. So act like a free person this week. Maybe that'll be the courage to pray. Maybe it'll be the courage to say something to an associate at work. Maybe some cultural conversation about what's going on in the country. And because that in Jesus' life, say, might as well say it. Just be people. Starting with each other. Starting with one another. Or you say some things and you do some things this week. Because Jesus is who he is. And he's done great things for us. So just an exhortation. So this is now just to sit back and listen. Wonder, ponder. Something that happens. It's usually sad when it happens. Is a person does not find what we think should be found in life. That a person does not experience, does not know what we think should be experienced and known in the human situation. Sometimes a person doesn't find what we think ought to be found, what ought to be known, because they've never had an opportunity. Sometimes people have the thing, but they don't find in the thing what should be known in the thing. They have the thing itself, but what should be known, what should be experienced in the thing somehow eludes them. It could be a very simple thing. It could be as simple as saying, "You mean you have never had an In-N-Out burger?" We're going to go right now. You're not going another day without having an In-N-Out burger. Because a person ought to have an In-N-Out burger. Whatever you're doing, cancel it. We're going to In-N-Out. Of course, it can be a lot weightier than In-N-Out burgers. We feel people should experience family. People ought to know what it means to be in a family. That place where you find acceptance, where you find belonging, there's lifelong relationships. Now, people should know what goes with just being put in a family. But then you might find a person, perhaps they have no family. They don't have that experience. They don't know, you know, what ought to be known in family. Others have a family. But the experience that should come with a family is not known to them. You know, I had a dad, but my dad never did what dads are supposed to do. I had a mom, but my mom never did what moms, I guess, are supposed to do. I never knew that. I never experienced it. That's sad. You know, because everybody should have a mom that does mom-like things. We should have a dad that does dad-like things. Everybody should know what it means to be put in a family. And of course, I could proliferate examples. Find a person that has lots of talent, lots of ability. There's something that should bring great enjoyment to them in life. The talent that God has given them, the abilities that that person has. But that person perhaps never finds much enjoyment from their talent, from their abilities. And you find a person who has friends. And yet somehow they never know in life, they never experience in life what people ought to know in friendship. Somebody who doesn't have to stay. You know, Jan has to stay. But Sean doesn't. So something just in a friendship with Sean where he stays when he doesn't have to. part of the treasure of friendship. People should have friends. But some people have people, but they never know the joy, the blessings of friendship. There are just many areas where we have this sense. A person really ought to know and experience such and such. Many areas where we say, the human person should just experience these things, should know these things. Today, what I want us to consider is just the greatest thing that human beings are meant to know. About what? Or where can it truly be said, you haven't lived? You aren't living if you haven't done this, if you haven't known that. I mean, you can't really say it about In-N-Out Burgers, can you? Like, you haven't lived until you had an In-N-Out Burger. We're going to fix that right now and go. But is there anything about which it can truly be said, if you haven't known this, if you haven't experienced this, you have not lived. You're not living. Not just, I want you to know this, I hope you know this before you die. But something, if you don't know this, you might as well be dead. Or perhaps even stronger, if you don't know this, you are dead. You haven't seen Lake Superior? Might as well be dead. You know, you are dead. You know what life is about. What is it about what you can say? If you don't know this, not you just might as well be dead, but you are dead. You haven't lived. Last week we noted that for all of us, our lives consist of a few short years on earth. Your life here on earth, my life here on earth, is temporary. Your life here on earth, my life here on earth, is going to go in a circle. We brought nothing into the world, we're going to leave with nothing. We're taken from the dust, we're going to return to the dust. Hopefully it's not a news flash to you, but there is a lot in life that's temporary. 100 years from now, there's going to be a lot of things different in your life than right now. There's just a lot of things that are temporary, a lot of things that are going to pass. You're going to go where all times go. They're going to go the way of all the earth. So last week we talked about doing the temporary things well, doing that circle well. But of course, one of the senses that we have is that there ought to be more to life. There ought to be more to living than just temporary things. We want to do temporary things well, but we have the sense there should be more to life. There ought to be more to life than merely temporary things. We smile at that saying that life is just one damn thing after another. We nod our heads a little bit, but we have this sense that life shouldn't be just a parade of temporary things. Somehow, we sense that life should be more than just a parade, even a good parade of temporary things. In several places in the scripture, people doing temporary things are spoken of as dead. Of one of the churches in the book of Revelation, it says this. It's the church at Sardis. You have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. The next reference there out of 1 Timothy 5, Paul talking about widows, but she says that widow who gives herself to wanton pleasure is dead, even while she lives. Obviously, a tension there. Formal contradiction, but she's dead for what she's given herself to. The church has a name, a reputation that they're alive, but they're dead. When the prodigal son returns, in the story of the prodigal son, the father says, my son was dead. He's come to life. Verses like that do not mean that the people in them, the people at the church of Sardis, this widow, it doesn't mean that they don't have families. It doesn't mean that they don't have jobs or hobbies or friends or interests. Rather, those verses that they're dead even while they're living somehow mean that something key, something central that they're supposed to know and to have, in order to have true life, that's missing. So they're still breathing, but they're dead. What might that be? What is it that they're missing? What is so great that no matter what else you have, if you don't have that, you don't have life? And it can be said of you, you're dead, even while you're alive. Even if you have a name that you're alive, you're still dead. But what is it that no matter what else you have, you don't have that, you don't have life? Somehow I think we also know that the most important issue is not simply a matter of doing better at the circle. Last week we talked about doing well at the circle of life. So I think that's important. But somehow we know that the ultimate issue is not simply doing better at the circle. It's good to do well at that circle of temporary things, but we have a sense that true life is not found in temporal things or in temporal happenings. Somehow you know that you can't just get a better car and find the ultimate life. The car of your dreams will fulfill all of your dreams. Somehow you know that life is not going to happen when the iPhone 11 comes out. Right? You might covet one, you might get one, but deep down you already know that the iPhone 11 isn't going to do it. You know that you can't just take a cruise or go on a picnic. You know that life can't be found merely by taking a bunch of supplements so you live 12 years longer. Oh, you're really living 12 years longer. From 2050 to 2062. Somehow you know that that might be nice. You'd rather make it to 62 than to just 50. But you know, that's not the ultimate issue, to make it year 62. In the 21st century, more time with friends would be wonderful. But that's not it. So what is it? The Gospel of John has this at the start. In the Word was life. As John tells us about the Word who's going to take on flesh and dwell among us, the Word who was there in the beginning and was with God, was God. He says, in the Word was life. The Gospel of John finishes with John saying, Jesus did many signs. A lot of them even I haven't even written about here. But the ones that I have written about, all these things in the whole Gospel of John, these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name. So it starts with a promise that in the Word was life. And at the end, after all the stories and all the happenings, John says, I wrote this all down so that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you would find life. This is how the epistle of 1 John works. A very first verse. What we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life that was manifested among us. So he starts right off. This is a letter about the word of life that was manifested. What we have seen, what we have touched, what we have handled concerning the word of life. And at the very end of 1 John chapter 5, this is the second to last verse. It says, all this stuff has been written so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So both in the Gospel of John and in that epistle of 1 John, we find just this emphasis on life. It helps us know life's a pretty big deal. When you're seeking life, you're after big game. Fun times are easier to find than life. If all you're after is fun times, that's easier to find than life. Excitement is more easily found, easily known, than life. Acquiring money is a cakewalk compared to acquiring life. Insight might be hard won, Might have to work hard to gain insight. But gaining insight is easy compared to knowing life. The ways to experience good emotions are more easily found than the way of life. So life is a pretty big deal. But note this. Life is the thing that gets identified as belonging to and being found in God. Life is a thing that belongs to and is found in God. God has the market on life. You've got the patent. He's got exclusive rights. In him is life. Very powerful verse in the Gospel of John. It's found in chapter 5. Just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. So the claim is that both the Father and the Son have life in themselves. It doesn't just mean that the Father and the Son are alive. It means that life is sourced in, derived from God. That means that if you want to know life, you're going to have to deal with God. Because he's got the corner on the market of life. If you want to know life, you're going to have to deal with God. When Jesus starts saying some things that are hard to understand and difficult to accept, after he's fed the 5,000, many of those people turn aside. We don't know what all that's about. Eating your flesh and drinking your blood. That sounds weird. We don't get that. You coming down from heaven. We don't know what that's about. So many turn aside. When Jesus asked the 12, when they're all that's left, you want to go away too? Would you also go away? Peter says these words, to whom else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. So Peter realizes, if we were just looking for good times, if we were looking for entertainment, if we were looking for fun, if we were looking just for a good ride, we would go. But we know that you have words of eternal life. And as difficult as it is to stay, where else can we go? Because life is found in you. If you want to have life, you got to deal with God. If you want life, you have to deal with Jesus. Because in him is life. That leads to a very simple conclusion. If I want to know life, if you want to know life, if I want to live, if you want to live, you have to know God. You have to know God. And when you do know him, you have life. So take just a few moments to reflect on what is the greatest thing for a human being to know. What is the greatest thing for a human being to experience? So just a few thoughts, kind of this verse out of John 17, Jesus' high priestly prayer. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Sometimes you watch a person do something that seems like it fits him or her, you know, fits that person perfectly. You know, you watch that person do something, it's almost like that, it's like a complete and perfect fit. Complete and perfect expression of who that person is. When we witness this, sometimes what we find ourselves saying is, you know what, that person was born to do that. Maybe you're watching the Olympics, when you see somebody and you say, that person was born to ski, or born to skate, or born to snowboard. You hear somebody sing, that person was born to sing. You know, born to ride a horse. You know, born to paint. Just such a fitting expression. And we mean by those words, not only that the person is skilled and accomplished, but also the sense that kind of, that person was meant to do that. The person was meant to get on a horse and show what riding a horse can look like and can happen when you ride a horse. It would be a shame if that person wasn't doing that. This person was born to ride a horse. So it's not just accomplishment. It's a person needs to do that. So here's the point for today. You were born to know God. You were born to know God, to know the Almighty. You were made for the purpose of being a worshiper of God. You were made for the purpose of being a friend of God. It's what you are meant to do. It's what you are meant to know. To not know Him is not to just miss an important element or a blessed part of life. To not know Him is to miss life. To not know Him is to not know life. To not know Him is to be like a cut flower or a cut Christmas tree. We can hang balls and lights on you, but you're already dead. We can put you in a vase, enjoy your beauty for a couple of days, but you're already dying. To not know God is to be just like that cut Christmas tree. Already dying, soon to be dead. You're cut off from life, but you were born to know Him. You are meant for very great, very wonderful things. Perhaps you can play an instrument. Maybe you can build a house. Maybe you can run a company. Maybe you can play video games. But if you do not know God, you will miss what it is that you're created for, what it is that you're made for. Maybe you can make money in the stock market. Maybe you look fabulous when dressed up. Maybe you own a nice house. But if you do not know God, you're not alive. Maybe you invented something cool. Maybe you even had some kids. Maybe you've gone to faraway places and seen exotic things. But if you don't know God, you don't know what life is. You are not meant for just a brief stay on earth and then no more you. That's not what you are meant for. You were created, you were made to be in communion and fellowship with the Almighty God. If by granting you things that can be found on earth, I could fulfill all your hopes, you need greater hopes. If all of your dreams could be met by the provision of earth, you need bigger dreams because you were made for bigger things. When Adam and Eve were expelled from the Garden of Eden, they were skilled. They were smart. They were virile. They were strong. They were capable. They soon produced music and fine art. They built amazing buildings. They forged impressive tools. But they were barred from life. They were kicked out of the garden to prevent them from partaking of the tree of life. The human person, you, are capable of extraordinary things. You can have wonderful relationships. People can write incredible stories, produce amazing entertainment. People can reproduce, make little people. You can form communities. People can increase in knowledge and understanding. People can explore the world, cross oceans, climb mountains, go to outer space. People can win gold medals, create stunning technology. People can fight disease. People can do many things. You can do many things. But even if you've done all those things, even after you've done all those things, you still die. If you could write like Shakespeare, if you can compose like Bach, if you can run like Usain Bolt, if you can build products like Steve Jobs, if you can do physics like Einstein, none of those things give you life. If you could do all of those things, you still die. But if you know Jesus, you will not die. If you know Jesus, you will not die. Because in Him is life. If you know Him, you have everlasting life. Popular now are all these elimination shows. Who can sing the best of all this group? Who can dance the best of all this group? Who can survive longer than anybody else in this group? Who can make it through the obstacle course better than anybody else? Who can win the race around the world? Often those shows display amazing talent, incredible achievement. But be the one who survives all the eliminations and wins the show, you're still going to die. Even if you have the voice or the most talent in America, you're still going to die. It doesn't give life. But if you know God, you will live. Have God as your God, and He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You can't be near Him and be dead. Can't be so. Because He is life. To know Him is eternal life. We have a saying. Something means the world to me. We use those words to indicate something or someone who we are at least claiming has the value to us of the whole world. If I say to you, you mean the world, you are greatly treasured. I'm saying, you can have all the whole world, I'll take you. You mean the world. But Jesus reminds us, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his life? Greater than you mean the world to me is to say, you mean life. That can be said to only one person. I maybe can say, you mean the world to me, but I can't say, you mean life to me. That can be said to only one. It can only be said to God. But you are meant to know Him. You are meant to find life in Him. You are meant to be able to say, you mean life to me. To know you, that means I have life. I'll never die. And then all the rest of life is lived in the shadow and in the shade of that great thing of knowing Him. So what's the greatest thing that any human being is meant to know? And the answer to that is you're meant to know God. And in knowing Him, you find life. Whenever I hear of some talented, articulate, witty, sparkly person who says, I'm an atheist, I don't have want anything to do with God, you know, the response that I have is not, I don't feel threatened but in any stretch. I'm sad because that person missing life. With all of the talent, with all the ability, with all the education, with all the good looks, with all the money or whatever it is that they have, you're going to miss life. Because then God is life, and to know Him is eternal life. You're missing what it is that you were meant to do, that you were made to do. So from last week, be good at doing the temporary circle. And all the temporary things, all the things that are going to pass. Be good at growing old, graciously, you know, gracefully, with the Lord's own grace. But life consists of more than just the parade of temporary things. People were made to have eternal life, to be the friends of God, to know Him. Have your life consist of exactly that. rejoice that it's so.